Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. This is Michael Savage live from a new location somewhere in the United States of America. And I don't know whether it's a Blue Monday for you, but it isn't for me. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The phone number here, as always, is 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. I know many of you are interested in last week's persecution of Michael Savage by the government media complex, as well as the fraudulent conservatives in the government media complex, the shills for the GM complex, who pretend to be your friend. But you'll have to make your own decision as to why or how or whatever you choose to listen to and why you listen to them and what you intend to get out of various shows. I'm not going to talk about anyone but myself today, as usual, and of course the show and the topics of the day. The number one topic of the day is the deportation of the illegal alien troublemaking lobbyist who hid in a church in Chicago. I find it very, very reassuring that the federal government has finally thrown a bone to the American people by deporting this Mexican to where she came from. Let's make no mistakes about it. She came here illegally, and then she said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going to hide in a church. Now, as we well know, the Catholic Church is part of the reason George Bush tried to grant the amnesty bill. It's because the church needs seats, hot people in seats. The pews have gone cold. He needed to help the Catholic Church turn the pews hot. This is no aspersion on the Catholic Church. I don't care what you say. I've been the biggest supporter of religion in general, Christianity in particular, and Catholicism in particular, ever since I began a radio 15 years ago. There's a big difference between God, the Catholic Church, and the church leaders, who are fundamentally politicians with a collar. The politicians in the Catholic Church are identical to the politicians inside the Republican Party. It's all about money, follow the dollars. That's one man's opinion. Now, the subtext of this story, it's on michaelsavage.com, illegal alien lobbyist finally deported to Mexico. Her anchor baby is here as a permanent U.S. citizen. That's the subtext of the story. This doll who hid out in a Chicago church for a year to avoid being deported said that she was there to avoid being separated from her 8-year-old son, a U.S. citizen. Let's pause right there. Her 8-year-old son, a U.S. citizen. Now, according to our Constitution, he is a U.S. citizen. But everybody knows that this flaw in our Constitution is being abused by illegal aliens who come here and have anchor babies. And I'll tell you more about why we must pass a constitutional amendment to eliminate the clause that permits these people who are invading the country to create anchor babies. Now, you may say that's very harsh. It's separating families. Let me be very clear. I'm in favor of family reunification. And I believe this wonderful citizen of Mexico should have a reunion with her son in Mexico. If she loves her son so much, she wouldn't use him as a political football, would she? No, she wouldn't. Do you know that this doll had the nerve to say that she had to stay in America in order for her anchor baby to receive proper medical care for his condition? Do you know what his condition is? ADD. Now, of course, ADD doesn't exist except in the minds of the drug industry and the doctors who live off the drug industry and frightened parents. But they're pretty clever, the illegal aliens. They have all of the boys from NYU in the ACLU advising them, writing their scripts and telling them, you know what? All right, here's how we'll get him. Say that, let's see, what can we come up with? Then he don't have a real disease. They'll find that out. Pneumonia, no. Don't make it a real disease, because then those cracker right-wingers will say they're bringing in diseases. Hey, come up with something they can't catch. Now, what is it, Milty? What could they not? Let's see. Pneumonia, no good. Cholera, no good. Dengue fever, no good. It'll scare the cracker. What can we give them? TB? No, no, that'll scare the cracker. ADD, that's not catching. Right, sympathy. That's like saying a child has global warming, and the only way to cure it is to keep the child in the country so Americans can treat him for global warming. All right? So this is the racket that they're using. It's worse than the foot baths. It's the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about anchor babies? Because I'm going to talk about anchor babies. You want to talk about rethinking birthright citizenship? I'll talk about rethinking birthright citizenship. Now, what model do I use to speak with you today about the problem of so-called anchor babies, children born in U.S. hospitals to illegal aliens, and these children automatically becoming citizens and thus serving as an anchor for their parents to remain in the country? In Houston hospitals, Houston, Texas, administrators of the hospitals are estimating that 70 or 80% of the babies born in this these hospitals have parents who are in the country illegally. Did you hear this? 80% of the babies being born at your expense are from illegal aliens. Now, would it make us mean-spirited to prevent this from happening by rethinking birthright citizenship? I'll let you decide. No other wealthy Western nations grant automatic citizenship to those who simply happen to knock a baby out on their doorstep to non-citizens. No one. Why? Because every other nation but ours, which is controlled by the fraudulent, illegal, illegitimate elite, every other nation has a legitimate government except ours. Our illegitimate elite government does not recognize, as other nations in the West do, that citizenship involves more than the physical location of one's birth. It involves some measure of cultural connection and allegiance. Cultural connection and allegiance. So most Western nations, in fact, all of them, so far as I know, have the rule that says the parents must be citizens of a nation in order for their children, newborn, to receive automatic citizenship. Now, why would we grant such an incentive to illegal aliens to knock out babies that become citizens? Well, there are many reasons for it. But I'm going to argue right now that we must end the 14th Amendment that was ratified in 1868 on the heels of the Civil War. It is a dodo. It is time to go. Why did the U.S. Congress passed the 14th Amendment, which encouraged people who were not citizens to have babies who would become citizens? Why in 1868? What happened? Okay, the Civil War had just ended. The country, especially the Western territories, were wide open, and they were ripe for homesteading. There was no welfare state to exploit. The modern problems we are experiencing with illegal immigration could never have been imagined in 1868. Our brilliant founding fathers knew that unforeseen problems with our system of government would come about. And that's why they gave us a technique or a method for amending the Constitution. Yes, the U.S. Constitution can be amended from time to time. And just as it was amended in 1868 to encourage the birth of children on the Western Plains, we must now rethink birthright citizenship by amending the 14th Amendment and eliminating it once and for all, or we will lose our nation from within. Now, will we be the first Western nation to do so? No. Where do I look for my model for eliminating the birthright citizenship racket being used by illegal aliens and their ACLU cohorts? Answer, Socialist Canada. You may not know this, but Socialist Canada once had such a preposterous rule as well. It permitted any baby born on Canadian soil to become an automatic citizen, even if the parent was not a citizen. Who stopped it? A Chinese Canadian, that is a Canadian of Chinese descent, second or third generation. He got up in the Canadian Parliament and he saw what was happening. He saw that Chinese were coming in from China, of course, in their ninth month of pregnancy, banging the baby out on the plane, or banging the baby out on the tarmac, or banging the baby out in the waiting room. It didn't matter. It was, oh, I'm home at last. I found a sucker to take care of me and my baby. It got so bad that this Canadian of Chinese descent said, enough is enough, or we will become like China. Remember what I'm saying to you. This was only passed in 1977. Did you hear this? Did you know that? I'm going to read to you Canada's Citizenship Act under Section 3. And you will find out that the Supreme Court of Canada, a socialist nation, has ruled that the best interests of the child must be considered in deciding whether or not an illegal should be deported. That's in there as well. So there are exceptions. Part 1, Section 3 states, the right to citizenship. Persons who are citizens, subject to this act, a person is a citizen if, A, the person was born in Canada after February 14, 1977. B, the person was born outside Canada after February 14, 1977. And at the time of his birth, one of his parents, other than a parent who adopted him, was a citizen. Did you hear that? Other than a parent who adopted him. Did you hear this? I can go on, but you get the picture. You're a gigantic putz. America's the stupidest nation on earth, and the opposition is much smarter than you are. I'll be right back. Your mic is live. It's the Savage Nation live from somewhere outside of San Francisco. And I am sick of San Francisco, let me tell you. A city filled with pompous, fraudulent, liberal illegitimi. You know, they thought that they would make sport of me, but little did they know that one man could stand up against that juggernaut. And they found out that they couldn't pass that proclamation against me because of Supervisor Mr. Jew. I know it's a paradox in the minds of some, Jew saves Jew. I understand that many of you think it's a joke. But it's no joke that a man I never met, a Chinese-American at that, understands what the First Amendment is. And people who are Jewish don't, people who are Irish don't, people who are Catholic don't, people who are Protestant don't, people who are Italian don't. These are the people who put a knife in my back. And then afterwards, when some people I know spoke to them, they said, it was all politics. We just need the Latino vote. That's why we did this to Savage. That's what you did it for? So it was just expediency to put a knife in my back? My friends, you made a decision. Now live with it. Patrick, Los Angeles, you're on the Savage Nation. KLAA, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. It's really good to hear you again today, live. Hey, I'm a white Irish Catholic down here in Los Angeles, and I feel like I'm the last one at my parish. I mean, you know, I was all for diversity, but I don't want to go to any church or live in any neighborhood that's 99% one thing.
What do you mean by 99% one thing?
My church is almost entirely brown.
I think it's about race. I think it's about faith. Now, if the folks from Mexico all love religion and love God, I think that's a plus for this country. It's better than importing atheists, isn't it?
It's a plus, but everything is in two languages now.
The issue is not language nor race. The issue is legality or illegality. That's the issue. The problem with your church is the same problem with the Jewish temple and with the Protestant church, which is the move towards modernism, which is an attempt to rewrite the Bible or eliminate it entirely, certainly to re-reference what God meant. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In other words, I could imagine one of the modern priests getting up today saying, the modern church has no need for the Bible anymore. It's a book of hate. The Bible is a book of hate written by ancient homophobes, ancient olive-growing homophobes. We're going to burn all of these hate books. We're going to write a new one with our friends from the ACLU. We're going to write a new Bible. It's not going to be called the Bible. It's going to be called a book of the way. The new way.
I know what's going on inside the church and the synagogue. It's why most Americans have walked away from them. I mean, what do you think they're leaving for no reason? You think they're leaving only because they become hedonists and narcissists? You're wrong. They're leaving because the leadership of the church is leading them astray, and they don't want to go there. They don't want to go there.
And they don't want to take their little girls and their little boys to be led astray there. That's how most of us see it. I know these are harsh words. I know you want me to sound like Al Gore and give you some sugar-coated words about what's going on. If you want sugar-coating, you've come to the wrong place. That's all. Take a walk, in other words, and listen to another show. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Justin, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Great to hear you back on the air again. Just want to make
yes, and not only back on the air, but full of P and V.
Thank you so much for standing up to those sociopaths.
Well, did you visit the website and look at all of the video, the hate on the other side? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. I actually showed my fiance that she was completely unaware of exactly what the illegal immigrant movement's actually trying.
Do you want to hear something? Do you know that the major media blacked out the largest Latino protest in America that has occurred since the major protest? Do you know that that was the largest one since the major ones? You know what went on? The major media run by liberal East Coast psychotics who hate this country more than they hate their own mothers, which is, of course, why they became what they are, had a real tough choice. They said, well, do we satisfy our Latino buddies and show them protesting, or do we not do so? Because if we do so, we give Michael Savage some recognition and some credit for being a man standing up against the system. So they decided that they would rather spite me in order to spite me. They had to also deny their left-wing Latino agitator buddies their moment in the sun. In other words, it's called cutting their nose to spite their face. How is it that in San Francisco, the largest protest since the G8 summit of 2 years ago, the largest one was not covered by the Chronicle run by Phil Bronstein? Why? Because Phil Bronstein is a total loser. He has taken the Hearst fortune in this paper and turned it into toilet paper. Some men can take dross and turn it into gold. In my opinion, men like Phil Bronstein, who was the publisher or the editor of the Chronicle, a once really fine newspaper, not a great one, but a good one, has turned gold into dross. It means nothing to him because it's the Hearst's money. Why the grandchildren don't get together and take back that newspaper, I don't know. But I do know certain things, and I'll tell you about them right here. I'm going to take your calls in a minute here on the Savage Nation. I really am glad to be back. I took a breather, traveled. I'm in another location, getting away from the hate-filled Bay Area, filled with the smiling liberals who walk with knives in their hand behind their back. They're fraudulent through and through, which is why most of them are drug addicts and sex addicts. It's because they have no soul. But, you know, now I'm reading the paper here, right? I'm going to shift topics for a minute. Look at, you know what I'm telling you? Here's what I really want to say in the big broad. I'm looking at the headlines in the New York Post. This Murdoch rag has become increasingly garbageified. It's becoming increasingly garbageified on the Murdoch. He's destroying it. For example, Leona Helmsley dies, and they have the nerve to take this poor woman who's 87 and she's dead and call her a tax cheat at the end of her life. She gave more to that city, so far as I don't know the woman. She donated more to that city than I think Rupert Murdoch ever has. Out of her own fortune. And his scribes, his little scribes there at the Post, have the nerve to stab her in the back after she's dead, calling her a tax cheat. That's what his ideas of a journal, and he just bought the Wall Street Journal. But here's another story out of the New York Post. Listen to this headline. Top New York poet kills self. First of all, it's an oxymoron to say top New York poet. There's no such thing as top New York and poet. Okay, let's start with that. But let's take it on its face. Top New York poet kills self. Liam Rector. Hello? I'm sorry, I never heard of him. I've read a little poetry in my life. Never heard of the man. A critically acclaimed poet. What does that mean? Four psychos in Greenwich Village with a beret acclaimed them in some literary journal? But wait, it gets worse. Liam Rector, a critically acclaimed poet who taught at some of the nation's top colleges, institutions of lower learning, I might add, committed suicide yesterday in his Greenwich Village apartment, police said. Rector 57 put a shotgun to his head, police said. Come on, shotgun to his head? You know, for a poet, I'd expect something more creative than to copy Hemingway, even in his suicide throes. He could have chosen pills. He could have thrown himself from the World Trade Centers, but they're not here anymore, of course. Oh, God. top New York poet. His poems and essays appeared in the Paris Review. That's published in an apartment in Flushing, New York. The New Republic, the since-disgraced New Republic, who made up a story from Iraq to debase our troops. Plowshares. You know what plowshares is? We shall turn our swords into plowshares. Well, they want to read the next couplet in the Bible, which says we shall turn our plowshares into swords. They didn't get up to that page in the Bible yet. Maybe I should start a literary journal called Swords. And, of course, the Hudson Review. That was big in 1953. Let's see some of the great colleges this top poet taught at, because they say he taught at top colleges. Let's see. Bennington College in Vermont. I think the last thing they did of any note was create pottery in 1879. Taught at Columbia University, the home of diversity. The New School, Communist Front. And Emerson College in Boston with a dwindling student body. Anyway, that's the story. I'm sorry he had colon cancer. I'm sorry he had a bad heart. But worse than that, the obituary is a disaster. For a guy who's a good poet, he could have chosen another way out. I guess that's what I'm mad at. Shotgun in mouth. That's passe. I mean, Hemingway did that. That was horrible. That shook me up when he did it. Would you ever kill yourself with a shotgun to your mouth? Ugh, what a way to go. You want to talk about selfish? Let me explain something. And I'm going to try and do it now in a non-comedic fashion, or a non-angry fashion, a non-sarcastic fashion, a non-sardonic fashion, a non-ridiculing fashion. I've been there, and I haven't done that. I've gone through the suicide phase a few times in my life, primarily as a result of what liberalism almost did to me and my family. They almost destroyed me, but not quite. I rose from the ashes like a phoenix. But what I found down in those ashes of depression, and I'm talking 20 years ago, I'll level with you right now, were many, 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 many things. There was a lot of ferment in my life at the time. I got very deeply into religion at that time. And what I discovered was the greatest sin a man can commit is suicide. Did you know that? Suicide is a greater crime than homicide because you're killing God's property. It's not your property. You don't own you, Johnson. You're owned by God. Now, the day you learn that, not only do you gain an awful lot, but you lose an awful lot. You know what you lose? You lose the burden of thinking that you're so important. You lose the burden of thinking that everything in the world depends upon how you feel or whether you made a good do-do that day. You find out that you're just a mote in the mire like everybody else. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In many ways, we're all just ashes and ashes and dust to dust. But in some ways, some of us struggle to overcome that and to create something of meaning while we are alive. But the bottom line here is suicide is the worst crime you can commit. But put aside the religious connotation of suicide. Any man who is married who commits suicide is the biggest coward on the planet in terms of what he's going to do to his wife. Any man who is married and has children is an even bigger coward in terms of the curse he puts upon the third generation of his own family by committing suicide. That's my reaction to it. That's why I don't have any sympathy for suicides. You hear me? You hear that? Never talked about it before. Paul, San Diego, good challenge. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was wondering what you felt about this. Socrates basically committed suicide by drinking hemlock when he was...
Good point. Well, first of all, Greeks, as you well know, the Greeks of those days are somewhat irrelevant in some ways today.
But sometimes suicide's your only choice, isn't it?
Not my choice. Maybe it's yours.
But Socrates' choice.
Well, are you suggesting you would like to commit suicide and you're asking me for dispensation?
No, I'm just saying, no, the topic is suicide. And I'm just saying that devil's advocate, Socrates committed suicide in a way because he could have escaped. And he chose to drink hemlock because the sun was on the hill. And I just wanted to see what you thought of that.
Well, okay, I'll give you another example. Ernst Rommel, the Desert Fox, the Nazi general, okay, was a great German general from the point of view of Germany. But Ernst Rommel was part of the plot to kill Hitler towards the end of the war. You know that, right?
All right.
He was. And he was revered by the German military and by Hitler himself. But once he was found to be part of the plot to kill Hitler, he was called back to Berlin, and he was given a choice. The choice was to go on trial and be executed and have all of his property would have been seized by the Nazi government, or to commit suicide. He chose to commit suicide, but that's a little different in the sense that someone was pulling the trigger for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Can I have a theory? Can I base it?
Well, no, wait. Hold on. Don't jump over that. There are exceptions to every rule, as we well know. I'm talking about a man who does have the choice of free will to commit suicide. Ernst Rommel had no free will any more than Socrates had free will. Socrates was given a choice. Either you commit suicide by taking the hemlock or we'll seize all of your property, etc. So in other words, it wasn't just a spontaneous desire to kill himself because he was depressed.
Do you find it kind of like parallel the story of Socrates and his apostles and let's say some other type of religion? I mean, I find it kind of uncanny the way in which he had these apostles around him and the wisdom in which he brought, you know, and then here he is, he has to kill himself in order, like you said, to protect himself from these tyrants and from taking everything that he had already, you know. I don't know. Am I wrong or?
What are you saying? You're putting him in the context of who? Are you saying he's like who? Like the story of Christianity?
A Platonist, like a Platonist. I don't want to use Christianity because everybody uses that same person, but like Platonism or, you know what I mean? Like Plato.
Platonism? You mean Plato, correct? You're talking about Plato?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think we're getting off the topic here. Would you commit suicide if you had free will?
Yes.
You would?
I believe in free will. I wouldn't kill myself.
I'm saying, but do you have a family?
Huh?
Do you have a family?
Yes, sir.
Children or just like mother, father, brother, sisters?
I'm a 40-year-old grandfather.
You have a 40-year-old grandfather or you are a 40-year-old grandfather? You are a 40-year-old grandfather?
Yes.
All right. Well, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you're really serious about being depressed or you really think. Just think about the effect it would have upon your grandchildren. They would carry around in their head. Every child thinks about their father or their mother. The usual topic is your mother or father still alive, yes or no, right? You do that. Don't you do that with people when you meet them?
No.
I'm talking to myself already. I'm talking to a complete wallpaper here, a guy who belongs in a rubber wallpaper. I mean, this guy should be wrapped in rubber wallpaper. What am I doing here? Where do I have to go? I really don't want to talk about suicide unless you want to talk about a nation's suicide. The suicide of a nation, as exemplified by our nation. All right. Los Angeles, Tom, 8:30 a.m. on the dial. I got it right. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Again a dud? Tom, are you there?
Tony.
All right, Tony, hello. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was just thinking about your movie, and this whole situation in San Francisco could be the climax.
Please don't use that word. It's a family program.
Unless you run for president and something supersedes even this event.
Well, you know what's funny is that we have some very good footage of the illegal alien mobs outside the radio station and on the steps of so-called City Hall. And you could see that the rhetoric being used by some of them is exactly that out of the ex-Soviet Union. And the hate that comes out of their faces, it's all up on my website still, michaelsavage.com. Have you seen any of it?
I've seen pictures, and I feel that those pictures say 1,000 words, and that's why it would be...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I will use that archival footage along with other archival footage in the Michael Savage story. I will. I will do that. It will be in the movie. It will not be the centerpiece, but it will be the movie. Okay? Tony, let me send you a free gift. Did you buy a copy yet of the Freedom of Speech DVD or Healing Children Naturally? You have children?
I did buy a copy of Healing Children Naturally, and I do have children, and that's so kind of you. Thank you so much. If you would...
What would you like? You want the DVD? Stay in the line. You got it. That's all. Move on. Let me see what I was thinking about. Oh, I saw another movie. You know, there's a lot of truth in movies if they're done well, just as there's a lot of truth in novels if they're written well, and which is why people still read them. They don't just read them for the story content. Or else you could just go to a Steven Spielberg movie. If you wanted no content and just a story, you would go to a Hollywood movie, by and large. Not entirely, but by and large. If you want content and story, you read a novel written by somebody with at least a half a brain, hopefully more than a half a brain. I used to read novels when I was young, trying to understand life when I was coming up. If I could find them, they're in a warehouse somewhere. Underlined, marks, notes in the margins, and he said this and that means that. All over my books, I was learning from novels, but I was reading some serious novelists and I'm trying to derive ideas and this and that, till I realized that novelists were really terrible instructors. By and large, it took me a long time. I think it was after the age of 40, truthfully, when I finally realized that novels are primarily worthless as instructional manuals for life. You know, they can be well written, but there's really very little wisdom in most novels. They're all techniques used to make you think there's wisdom in order to keep you reading fundamentally the story, which he hopes will be made into a movie. But why do I say that most novelists turn out to be bad teachers? Because they were writers. Writers are not a fair sampling of humanity. They're a very small sample of humanity, and they have a very particular bias towards life. They're generally depressives. They're agitators. They're disconnected from reality in many ways, writers are, and they're loners. And they don't really speak for the mainstream experience. And sometimes the mainstream experience is the right stream experience. So I don't know how we're getting there, but the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And if you frankly have not yet gone on and purchased the book, please do so, or the DVD, because I'm right now trying to do my own defense fund. I haven't decided when I'm going to sue, but I'm pretty much going to sue the group who tried to lie about me by distorting what I actually said. And that's what it's come down to. I'm just a little distracted right now because I got disconnected from my callers on my Telos dial-up. It's okay. It's just like flying a plane and a major league instrument like radar goes out. So what you do is, as a pilot, is keep flying, and hopefully that you could see over the horizon. But if it's a cloudy day, hello, you don't know if you're up or down. Right now, I know that I'm up. I'm not down. I know I'm flying straight, not into a mountain, but I still have no radar. I can't see my callers. So on that pleasant note, what I'm going to do is the engineer is rapidly trying to reconnect, but he touched the wrong knob. He went back to the original instead of the emergency. Hit okay. I have to tell the engineer now how to do this because I've done it so many times. It's okay. He's a nice guy. We now go to Emergency Assist Pro. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Please go on to michaelsavage.com. I'll continue to drink my coffee. I'll take your calls. We're talking. What's the real major news today? The major news is on my website. Basically, I put it up on michaelsavage.com every day. And the biggest story today is the arrest and deportation of the illegal alien woman who hid in a Catholic church for over a year, thinking that there'd be so much sympathy for her that eventually the government would simply cave in to her tactics. It didn't happen. The problem we are facing today is her anchor baby is here as a permanent U.S. citizen, and I have been arguing for you, all you kind liberals, to reconsider at least, birthright citizenship. And if you say, you right-wing SOB, you don't care about family reunification, blah, 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 blah. I would instruct you good liberals who care so much about illegals that you have at least 16 of them living in your house that you look into Canada's Citizenship Act, because Canada was once flooded with illegal aliens from China primarily, and it was a Canadian of Chinese descent in Parliament who said enough is enough, and they rewrote their constitution and ruled that the child must be born in the country in order to become a citizen. And that stopped the illegal alien invasion from China of Canada. Have a nice moment. I'll be right back. Savage. Truth Against Power, this is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. One man can make a difference. Make no mistake about it. One man can make a difference. You can be that man in a small way or in a big way. It depends. You know, you can jump in a river and save a drowning child. That's a big difference, isn't it? That's in a physical way one man can make a difference. So there are many things you can do in life. Don't give up. Just to finish up the the suicide thing for a minute, I finish it up. You can never finish up a topic like that. But you have no idea what's waiting for you downstream in life, more or less. I mean, unless you're in the last days of a tragically painful illness and you're being denied the drugs necessary to kill the pain, that's another story, you know. But, I mean, I'm in total belief that you should be given the most powerful painkillers on earth. when you have terminal cancer. I've said so for 10 years. Bromley's mixture out of England was long used. It was a mixture, I believe, of cocaine and heroin and another drug, which completely knocked out the worst pain. And this country was so backwards with regard to pain treatment. But I don't think it is anymore. I spoke to a cancer nurse who said we use the most powerful painkillers today. What I'm saying is, if you're young and healthy and you're depressed and you want to commit suicide, you got your whole life ahead of you. You don't know what's coming 5 minutes or 5 years from now. And wherever there's life, there's hope. Where there's no life, there's no hope. Oh, I was going to tell you about a movie I saw. So it was a movie about a boy who was born in a concentration camp, a Jewish boy, actually born there by parents who, in a concentration camp, decided to have a child because they followed the Bible, which said, therefore, choose life. They didn't roll over and die, even though it was the most horrendous conditions you could imagine. They secretly had a child, and the child wasn't killed. The child grows up to age 10. It's somewhat fictional, and he runs out of the camp, out of Hungary, or Romania, rather, and it's his plight running to freedom in Finland, where he has a relative waiting for him. But he wants to die in the concentration camp because he can't take living anymore. He thought his mother and father killed. And an older man, who must have been like 20 at the time, says to him, no, you mustn't kill yourself. He said, you must live, because when you're alive, you have hope, you can change things. That's all he said to the boy. And he remembers this on his journey, which is filled with the trials and tribulations of a young boy on his own trying to get away from a concentration camp. He wants to die at one point, but he remembers what that man said to him, the man who later sacrificed his own life that this boy might live, in a very interesting trick of plot. And that's the whole point. It's all about hope, and it's all about life. That's why I say to you, play Para Vivir when we come back. Well, you got it now, fire it up. It's a little too late, I know, to find it. That's what the show is. To life, to life, to life, Para Vivir. I'll be back at the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Donde esta Michael Savage? Where is Michael Savage? That's my business, not yours. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We are talking about to life, to life, to life, and we're focusing right now on death. And apparently the hot topic on the Savage Nation today is suicide. I don't know how we got there. So, you know, it's like every week they do the hottest topics in talk radio, you know, at the end of the week, and people like that say, oh, why didn't I talk about that? I guess the hot topic of today thus far is suicide for some reason. But just to continue it for a minute, since we were talking about it in the last hour, and I said suicide is the coward's way out, with very rare exception. I mean, there are people who would say, I mean, I don't want to live to like 98 and be rickety and broken and in pain and wait around to die of Dutch elm disease. I'd rather just go. You know what I'm saying? Now you'll get some liberals say Savage, in a show of his ignorance today, said a human being could die of Dutch elm disease. Blah, blah. That's how the left works. You know, I could have the PhD in the field, but they'll tell me that I don't know the difference between a plant illness and a human illness. But that's what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with the red diaper dopa babies. So we're talking about it. That's all. I want to talk about something else, and it's a very interesting observation. See, I talk to people. I don't just get it off the internet or the newspaper or books. Say, well, a big deal. No, it is a big deal. So let me tell you something. Since those protests against me last week, I've spoken with a number of immigrant people. Some of them were from El Salvador, and I learned an awful lot about immigration from El Salvadorans, or Salvadorans to be more specific. Here's what they told me. I said to them, you know, you heard some bad things about me, but let me explain what I actually said. Let me tell you the context, blah, blah, blah. When they got it, because they don't like spoiled brat children. So when I told them it was spoiled brat children who were just faking it, who I knew would never die of a hunger strike, and I just said, it's like a child says, Daddy, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to starve unless you give me something. You say, well, you know what? You don't want to eat. Don't eat, starve. See if I care. So they understood the sarcasm. They're a lot smarter than the liberals who were trying to manipulate them into hating me. But I'll tell you what else I learned. I said, tell me how Mexicans treat you as a Salvadoran. He said, oh, Michael, very bad. He said, they spit on us in Mexico. They have military on the border. They don't let any immigrants into Mexico that are illegal. Did you know that? So the next time you hear from your bleeding heart liberal friends that we're a mean country, the exact reverse is true. We take in more immigrants than any country on earth, and the country's lifeboats are sinking because the illegals are pouring across the border with impunity. No sovereign nation permits this unlimited number of immigrants to come into a nation. They understand what's at stake. So Mexico wisely puts military on their borders and does not permit anyone to come in. Let me tell you what's going on in the Middle East. You see how nice your Muslim friends treat illegal immigrants. This didn't make it to the local newspaper last week. We know there's a tragedy going on in Darfur in Africa, where black Christians are being destroyed by genocide by Arab Muslims. They leave that out, by the way. Next time you hear about the tragedy in Darfur from Leon DiCaprio, one of the other Hollywood high school dropouts, ask them why they don't talk about the subtext of Muslim versus Christian. That's because they're dummies from the top to the bottom. It's a Muslim problem, killing Christians in Africa. So where have some of them fled? They fled into Egypt. And then from Egypt, where they're mistreated like animals, the Darfurians, they're trying to get into Israel. Israel's finally said, no, we can't take any more in. So now there's a controversy in Israel where they think because of the Holocaust, they got to make up for all of the world's problems, which of course they can't do. They're a small nation. What happened last week was two Darfurians were beaten to death by Egyptian police on the border with Israel while Israeli guards watched and could do nothing. That didn't make it to the front of the New York Times, where Pinchy Psychoburger, used to be known as Sulzberger, Pinchy Psychoburger, the publisher of the New York Times, Pinchy Psychoburger only publishes images of evil Jews with guns over weeping Muslim women or evil American troops killing Iraqi children. And that's because Pinchy Psychoburger does not belong owning a newspaper, in my estimation. And he's not long for the newspaper business. Eventually, there'll be a coup inside that company, and they'll take the paper back from that nut bar. So that's how others treat illegal immigrants. In some cases, they beat them to death, which is certainly not what I'm recommending. In other cases, they put military on the border to keep out the illegals, which I am recommending. And in other cases, they're like morons, like here, where they tell you it's the compassionate thing to do. And on top of that, if they have a baby at the border, the baby should become a citizen. You hear this insanity? So that's the story. Now let's move on. I don't know what I want to talk. Play Pot of Iver again for a minute till I can decide what I want to talk about. Right, here's the story. I play it. Here it is. Congressman charged with assault at Dulles. So blah, blah, blah. It's a Democrat. Thank God. Whew, that was close. Filner. What's his name? Who's the guy? Robert Filner. Representative Robert Filner. Whew, I thought it was going to be another Republican, you know, waiting around like to die of Dutch Elm disease. But no, thank God it's a Democrat from San Diego, and he's a chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee. So he's at the United Airlines lost luggage office. He's a congressman, lost luggage. And they're giving him, no doubt, a hard time. You know who works for these airlines. And they hear him scream, according to him, "You can't stop me." And then, accordingly to eyewitnesses, the congressman pushes aside a United Airlines employee and refuses to leave the lost luggage office. Then arrives the officers. They find Filner waiting outside the office, and they tell him that the so-called airline employee is going to pursue charges. And the employee appeared before a Loudoun County magistrate on Sunday evening, and the congressman Filner is now scheduled to appear in general district court on October 2nd. Now, I don't have to tell you about the thin-skinned United Airlines employees, how if you look at them wrong, they scream homophobia. You're enraged, you're this, we're going to sue. They basically put you into a a straitjacket when you fly United. So I don't fly United. I try to avoid it. It's a nightmare, United. I don't know why it is. I'm sorry to tell you. I have nothing against them or for them. I don't care whether they advertise on my show or not. I don't know what they do. I used to love United. I used to get United Plus and free miles. I'm talking a long time ago. I had some of the great flights. But since this, they're using it like a weapon, this war on terror. They use it as a weapon to make people into little serfs, fundamentally. So what is it you'd like to talk about on the Savage Nation? Any topic is not fair game. I don't know what I want to talk about. Let me see what's on my website, then I'll tell you what I want to talk about. Because I get a twofer out of it. A, they're good stories. And B, I can make you look at the website, and you can go and you can look, and you can buy, and you can shop, and you can not. The headline. Oh, this I'm not allowed to say. My own headline I can't say. I'll say it anyway. Here it is. Limbaugh, Hannity, and O'Reilly join with the New York Times and La Raza to ignore and blast Savage. Why? Jealousy? Question mark. Fraudulent conservatism? Question mark. Mental trickery? Question mark. Parenthesis. When Rush had his drug problem, I supported him. When O'Blarney had his sex accusers, I supported him. Yet now that I need their support, zip, zero, nada. Close parenthesis. We ask, you decide. Do you agree that I should put that up there or should I not put it up there? I think that's a legitimate question for my listeners. Do you think I have the right to tell you what I think of these guys or not? Or do you think that I should say, oh, well, we're all in it together and let's all be buddies? Let me tell you something. Nobody's in this together. This is a competitive business. I supported these guys when they had trouble. No one, I didn't know them, but I knew it was the right thing to do. Not one word from these guys when I had my troubles last week. Why should I not tell you that? Then on the right side of the website, Savage gave $25,000 of his own money and raised over $250,000 from his wonderful listeners for these Marines. Not a note of thanks from the media. And that's about the Haditha massacre, which is now turning out to be a media and terrorist hoax, as I told you from the beginning. I will not rest until the prosecutor, the Marine prosecutor, is in an orange jumpsuit without a law degree. And the newsman who foisted this upon Representative Murtha, Tim McGurk of Time Magazine, is tried for what he did to these Marines. I will not rest until that's done. Then we have another story. The ACLU foot baths and double standards, and of course that's a great story. The ACLU, as you well know, tries to break the cross off every war memorial that they can get their greasy little paws on. But yet, strangely enough, the ACLU has nothing to say about foot baths in public colleges. It's not so strange when you understand their agenda. You know their agenda. They are anti-Christian, and they are pro-Muslim. Why do they like Muslims if they hate religion in general? It's pretty clear, because that way they can break down the hegemony of the white male Christian conservative who they see as their enemy. What they don't understand is that their bigger enemy is the people that they're supporting who will eventually throw them down a well. That's all. Marty, KNEW, welcome to The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, what a pleasure to talk to you. You know, well, first thing I want to say is that you are the only talk show host in all of America whose archival footage is worth listening to over and over again. There isn't another, and I mean that literally, not another.
Oh, you mean like when I take a day off, instead of having a fill-in, if I play a best of, it really is better than fill-ins generally.
It's great. In fact, when you do write your screenplay, Michael, I hope you'll call it Subway Trunks. I heard that story for the first time last
week. Oh, the embryo in a nun's trunk is a very, very sad story.
Yeah, the whole story with all those trunks and the one with the embryo, it's an amazing story. That might be the most amazing story I've heard you tell, and I've been listening to you for 10 years.
All right, so we'll have a scene with a young actor. We'll get him from the ex-Soviet Union, some little boy with brown hair and brown chestnut eyes. He'll act me as a little child, looking in awe with gigantic eyes at everything, saying almost nothing as they open up the trunks, and there's the embryo in the nun's trunk. How's that?
I couldn't believe it. It gave me chills when I heard that story.
Well, yeah, no, it's a chilling story. Believe me, I imagine being a kid and seeing this.
I went out to the rally last week just to have a look and see what it was all about. And, you know, I was struck by, I think two things struck me the most. One, there was anger there. A lot of it was, you know, there maybe two different types of people. You had the sort of organizers and the activist types, and then and there really were people there who were, you know, the real salt of the earth types of people, the ones that you identified as being misled, in my opinion. And
yeah,
and
it's very sad because I get along very, very well with people from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. I talk to them, and the minute I talk to them and they see my humanity and I see theirs, we usually get along. They don't know they're being misled by American communists who are simply using them in order to destroy this country. They have no idea that they're being used by the white liberal. They don't understand any of this. Once they understand it, some of them don't care and some of them do care. They understand. They're pretty smart people. Remember, a lot of them, in many ways, you may say that, are very bright. They just had a terrible, terrible unluck in the birth of where they were born and who they were born to. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
So they want to get out and make their life better. They're not lazy by any means, most of them. They're very ambitious. And they have the intelligence to have put the money together, paid off the coyotes, paid off the border guards, and to have found their way into the country. In that regard, you have to respect them for having done that. And believe me, I've heard a lot of stories about the trials and tribulations of some of these people hiding in the mountains in groups of 70 coming in from El Salvador through Mexico, that if they get caught by the Mexican police and if they don't pay, what happens to them? Do you have any idea what the Mexican police or military do to the El Salvadorans who they catch coming through their country on their way to the U.S.? Has anyone heard any of those stories, or have you read any of them in the L.A. Times, New York Times, or the San Francisco Chronicle? I don't even want to tell you these stories because the people couldn't take the truth. All they want to hear about is that America is a cruel nation, because we love our country so much. Hold on. I'll be back. Be here.
Savage.
We're talking about today on the Savage Nation, suicide or the death of a nation. And the number one way to start getting this country's health back is to revisit the birthright citizenship clause in the U.S. Constitution passed well over 100 years ago and to eliminate it. We have to get rid of it. We need a constitutional convention, and we must get rid of the birthright citizenship clause in our Constitution, which, again, the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868 after the Civil War, when the country, especially in the West, was wide open and ripe for homesteading, okay? And the purpose was to bring in immigrants and to have them make babies to become citizens. But there was no welfare state that was being exploited. There were no hospitals. There was no welfare. There was no ACLU. It was a different country. The geniuses, our founding fathers, knew that if there were unforeseen problems, which they knew there would be in an emerging nation, they gave us a method to amend the Constitution, and that's what we must do. We must amend the 14th Amendment by getting rid of it. Right now, in Houston, Texas, administrators are telling us that 70 to 80% of the babies born have parents who are in the country as illegal aliens. Okay? I'm doing it nice and quiet. I'm telling it to you the way it is, and I'm telling you that's our campaign, is to get rid of the 14th Amendment. Thomas in San Antonio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, what a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, sir, I'd like to start out by saying that I work in the hospitals throughout South Central Texas and on the border, and I have to say this. It's terrifying what's going on, what I see and what the nurses tell me.
Well, what do you see in a nutshell? You're a hospital worker in San Antonio. What do you see going on?
Well, on the borders especially, I tell you, and this is what is happening, they are spending, the pregnant women are coming to the border, and the Mexican government, is, from what I've been told, puts them up in hotels or motels or whatever. Mm-hmm. When their water breaks or they start having labor pains, they go to the border, get in a taxi, go to the hospitals, have the babies. And I've had the nurses tell me that they see the same women in there and they use different names.
Oh, sure. Why not have five if you can get one? Have five. Well, we're a nation of morons. Now, we have elites who are going to say no to this. They'll say it's racist. And I'm going to tell you that for 15 hard years I've been fighting for borders, language, and culture. We're now going to escalate the fight. We want the 14th Amendment amended. We want it eliminated. No anchor babies. That's our next campaign on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
some of the most important articles about this controversy. Controversy, huh? An American stands up for America and for American citizenship against hordes of illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico, represented by fat pig, animal farm, Marxist-Leninists from hell, like Sandoval, like Peskin, like Ammiano, who want to take over this country with a Leninist government where they rule and they think they'll rule the Hispanics and the white people will be subjugated into slavery. Make no mistake about what's going on here. Read the article by Selwyn Duke. Race-baiting politician attacks Michael Savage. It's on michaelsavage.com.
Michael, it occurs to me that while patriotism might at one time have been the last refuge of a scoundrel, this is no longer true. With modern America being characterized more by political correctness than patriotism, screams of racism may now be that last refuge. And joining the ranks of scoundrels, which are populated by reverends without congregations and other assorted gutter snipes, is the man who instigated the current attack against you, San Francisco Supervisor Gerardo Sandoval. He earned his yellow stripes by introducing that government resolution condemning you. It failed to pass, thank God. But condemning you for what was just satire, but which Sandoval called defamatory language against immigrants. The truth is, Michael, that what was offensive was not your quip, but Sandoval's shameful playing of the race card. After all, you jokingly said that maybe we should let some students and illegal aliens who were fasting for amnesty starve themselves to death, while Sandoval was quite serious in saying, quote, "The intolerant and racist comments of Michael Savage demand a strong condemnation." He then labeled them symbolic of racism and hatred in his resolution. Now, we first might note the calculated imprecision of Sandoval's terminology. I mean, at issue here are not immigrants, but illegal immigrants. But more to the point, there was no racial component in your statement, Michael. Perhaps Sandoval wishes to imply otherwise, but illegal immigrants hail from a variety of different nations and ethnic groups. And I should also mention that some of the abstemious activists were probably white Native Americans. So it wasn't any kind of consanguinity that united them, but only stupidity, and perhaps a desire to shed some pounds. Then, Michael, I just may know a wee bit about asceticism, and I've never known fasting to be peculiar to a given race. And let's talk about hatred. I think it's love of country that inspires one to risk reputation and limb like you do, Michael, to defend the nation. On the other hand, it's not a stretch to say that advocating policies threatening our culture, sovereignty, freedom, and prosperity just might be motivated by hatred of everything for which America stands. But, you know, accusations of racism are curious things. They're much like charges of heresy under a corrupt regime in a religious land. Whether true or not, they're a great way to demonize opponents. And in our time, the religion of the nation is defined by the irreligious dogmas of the dull, otherwise known as leftist orthodoxy. And transgressing against its tenets is a mortal sin.
That is amazing stuff.
And this reveals what really bothers the Sandovals of the world. You, Michael, have been in the vanguard of the resistance, the effort to protect our borders, language, and culture, as you would say. And to an illegal alien apologist such as Sandoval, this is intolerable. This is why he pulled the race card. Listen, it's the first and last ploy of the intellectually vacuous and irredeemably venal. And it just may be projection. Michael, since in the area of race, Sandoval seems to have the credibility of Al Sharpton. Listen, Sandoval once characterized the San Francisco Fire Department as being like, quote, "a Dublin phone book," unquote. Although, let's be fair, Michael, I'm sure Sandoval wouldn't have minded if those of Irish descent weren't white, right? Then, Eileen Lilchuk at sfgate.com tells us that, quote, "Speaking to the Harvey Milk Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Democratic Club in 2001, that's a mouthful, huh? He, Sandoval, urged San Franciscans upset about big businesses suing the city over its payroll tax to picket at their houses in Tiburon and at their bar mitzvahs." We should also point out that Sandoval sat on the board of directors of La Raza Centro Legal, and was the scholarship chair of the group's Lawyers Association. And, as your listeners must know, La Raza means the race. Interestingly, though, Michael, that Sandoval was in bed with the race-based organization isn't mentioned in his biography on his website. Hey, ¿qué pasa, Gerardo? But getting back to Sandoval's comments, their content isn't as damning as his hypocrisy, since he exhibits that typical leftist penchant for playing the race card, the one I mentioned earlier a couple of times. So, Mr. Sandoval, you should remember that bigots in glass hoods shouldn't throw stones. But how do you explain this contradiction of his? Well, first, we have to understand that bigotry, certainly the politically correct version, if not the actual variety, doesn't bother the Sandovals of the world. No. To such people, protestations about racism are never social activism, they're strategy. Michael, it's much like a devastating weapon a warrior employs on the battlefield. Don't be fooled when he complains about how his adversary has used it to destroy his holdings. He loves the weapon. He just doesn't want it used against him.
That's right. Liberalism is a mental disorder.
Since Sandoval stated that he just couldn't understand why there isn't more media outrage to what you said, Michael, let's talk about something truly outrageous. And this, folks, is the pièce de résistance. On February 15th, 2005, Sandoval appeared on Hannity and Combs and actually said, get this, that the United States should not have a military. I know. It had to be a joke, right? Well, Alan Combs, the liberal on the show, was incredulous and pressed Sandoval on the matter with both questions and statements 11 times, giving the San Francisco stupid visor ample opportunity to amend his position. But sanity, well, was to be elusive. The best Sandoval could muster were retorts such as, welcome to San Francisco. Believe me, you can't make this stuff up. But this is the man who praised Hugo Chavez, so what do we expect? Look, Sandoval belongs in a room with rubber wallpaper, attired in the morning, afternoon, evening wear that comes five sizes too small. But there's a bigger issue here than Sandoval and his misfiring neurons, Michael. Crazy or not, he's a foot soldier in a burgeoning effort to stifle politically incorrect dissent through social pressure, ostracism, reputation and career destruction, the threat of legal action, and ultimately, and this is the scary part, hate speech laws. And as for such laws, Sandoval's and other nations have already enacted them. I've spoken about this before on the show. And their fascistic ilk here have designs on our First Amendment. And this is why this issue matters. Anytime a public official uses the levers of government to chill political, social, and religious commentary, the very type of expression the First Amendment was designed to protect, it's time to form a vigilance committee. Listen, let's ensure the separation of media and state. This is why people should support you, Michael. It's not a matter of whether they love, hate, or are indifferent about what you said, because you don't have to value a man's speech to value free speech for men. In most parts of the world, Western Europe, Canada, and Australia, just to name a few, you and I and many others could be charged criminally for expressing our opinions. And we're treading the same path here. And if our government ever succeeded in silencing you, Michael, who would be next? Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, who then? Who would be next in the food chain?
Right, exactly.
All I can say is, you folks who cheer for the muzzling of defiant voices should take heed. Because there is certainly one exception, at least, to the adage, it is easier to destroy than create. And that would be the tools of big government tyranny. The Sandovals of the world may conjure up the demon who will burn their opponents' tongues from their mouths, but they'll soon learn that his ambition is not to be servant, it's to be master. Of course, Michael, the government is just a reflection of us. A demon can only reign over a land when erstwhile hallowed ground has been desecrated by collective vice. Sandoval is just like every other coward who embraces the fashionable passions of his age. And if his ilk ever does carry the day, it won't be because their passions were so powerful. No. It'll be because our indifference was so profound.
Okay, Selwyn Duke. Thanks very much.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Savage.
won't say that I'm the first in the media to discuss the 14th Amendment and the fact that we need to rethink birthright citizenship. Many have discussed it over the last few years, but I will tell you right now that, like the illegal immigration problem, which I've highlighted for 15 years on this program and in my writings, I will popularize the question, should we get rid of the 14th Amendment, which permits babies born within our borders to non-citizens to become citizens? Because no other wealthy Western nation permits automatic citizenship in such cases. No other nation does this. And we understand that they're getting around the law of immigration and illegal immigration by knocking babies out right on our doorstep. So we're talking about that. There's another topic I want to talk about. I have a little time here, which is the war. Let's not forget the war. Now, I'm going to start with the news of the day. I was very surprised to learn that Senator Biden of Delaware, who I don't particularly like his politics, I don't know the man, so I can't say I like him. It doesn't matter whether I like him or dislike him. He's a Democrat and a liberal in a liberal state. He has a son, 38 years old, who's going over to Iraq next year. That's right. Senator Biden, a Democrat, has a son going to Iraq next year. His son is the Attorney General of the state of Delaware, and he's going to Iraq next year. Why? Because he's a member of the National Guard unit that's called up. He's a judge advocate in the National Guard, and he's being called up, and he's going to go. So Senator Biden gave a speech that I found to be amazingly interesting and poignant. Here's what he said. He said, I don't want my son to have to go to Iraq, but I don't want my grandson to have to go to Iraq even more. And that's why I want my son to go to Iraq. Now, this is a sea change in what's going on in Congress. Yes, there's pork barrel spending, as we know that Murtha, the man who smeared our Marine heroes, was the biggest benefactor of graft, in my opinion, through pork barrel spending, which they call earmarks today. In my day in high school, we called it pork barrel spending. That's how I learned it in a review book, even, that many congressmen were putting bills into Congress to gain something for their district and themselves and their supporters, and it was called pork barrel spending. And it had gotten so bad in previous generations that laws were passed to stop it. People were sent to jail. It's going to come here again. We have people in jail right now, all Republicans. I'll be a happier man when we see Democrats doing the perp walk wearing the orange jumpsuit. Then I'll know that it's a fair playing field. But let's put that aside. There's a bigger picture. The bigger picture is, as Democrats see their sons marching off to Iraq and they recognize that their rhetoric can have them killed, you're suddenly seeing a change in their rhetoric and a change in their votes and a change in their funding. Now, they know something we don't know. Never mind what they say to the Michael Moore schmucks who believe that the earth is coming to an end because you're using a toaster to make four slices of toast in the morning, or that you're not driving a stupid Prius. You're killing the earth. Aside from those whack job, the left-wing nuts who they talk to publicly, they know, they're very sober men and women, the Democrats. They know behind the closed doors exactly what the Islamofascist has in store for us unless we kill them over there. And kill them over there we will. And the day we fly B-1 bombers out of our Air Force bases and they appear on the horizon right overhead in the Sunni Triangle and in Sadr City and Ahmed looks up and he doesn't know it's going to hit him until the last second because the bombers are invisible and silent. When Ahmed looks up screaming, death to America, and the last thing he sees is a B-1 bomber, I'll be a happier man. What did we spend trillions of dollars for? We spent trillions of dollars because we know we're a small nation with a relatively small population surrounded by third worlders who want to kill us and take what is ours. That's why we developed such a military. Wiser people of previous generations understood that their women and children need to be protected. And the only thing that could protect them would be the military and the police. So you got a bunch of hysterics now in Congress trying to feed this left-wing nuts with all this crap that we're going to lay down and roll over. Make no mistake about it. The Democrats aren't going to roll over to the Islamofascists any more than the Republicans are. Let me tell you that right now. And right after the election, old Mike will make another prediction. Right after Hillary Clinton is sworn in as president, they're going to put the draft back. They'll call the draft again. And the left, yeah, they'll go crazy. They'll protest. They'll scream. And they'll do die-ins. And they'll do nude-ins on glaciers. And it'll come to a hill of beans. It'll all amount to a hill of beans. Because the leadership behind closed doors knows who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Hitler all over again, only this time Hitler's more deadly than Hitler and the Nazis. And they know it. And so that's the story that I want to tell you about Iraq. And it's not a pretty story. It's not a story that I, you know, can prove is 100% predictable, but that's how I see it. But now back to the topics that we've been talking about. If you want to chime in, you can call 1-800-449-8255. Thomas in Spokane wants to disagree with me on the 14th Amendment. Go ahead, Thomas. State your case, please.
Well, Michael, it seems that when you read through the Constitution and you take out the 14th Amendment, there's no other scenario for citizenship to be established. And frankly, if there is, the only method that would be that would come from if you took out the 14th Amendment would be people who are born of current American citizens. Now,
all right, so I just said time to rethink the 14th Amendment, not eliminate it. And, well, I did say eliminate it, so you're right. Now I'll say let's modify the 14th Amendment. Since this is an ongoing show, which is fluid and dynamic, let us amend the 14th Amendment in a way that it says that a person is a citizen if they're born of at least one parent who was a citizen. Would that work for you?
Why should it be that we only allow people who are already citizens to produce citizens?
Why? You don't understand what's going on in this country, that the hospitals are being broken, our schools are being broken, our borders are being broken, our language is being broken, our culture is being broken. You don't understand any of that.
What's so special about American culture? Why should we not embrace others and create a new, more important American culture?
Now you're asking a rhetorical question to try to get me angry. I'm not going to answer that question. Because if you don't know the answer to that question, you yourself are suspect.
You preach about the Founding Fathers and what they advocated, and they were very intelligent, but they also argued that America is a place where people can come to bring themselves up from what they had.
Correct, and to become Americans. Don't leave out the tail end of the sentence. Why is it, my friend, that your ancestors came here to become Americans, and they didn't come here to subvert America, to turn it into something else other than America? Why? Why do you think that that went on until this generation of illegal aliens who fundamentally tramples on our borders, language, culture, and spits on our flag? Why do you think they do that?
Why should my Armenian ancestors not be considered citizens when they came here to escape genocide?
Well, now you're changing the argument to another time and another place. I'll turn the question back to you, Mr. Armenian. Why is it that Canada, a socialist nation, amended its Citizenship Act to make certain that the only citizen would be a person could be a citizen only if at least one of his parents at the time of his birth, other than a parent who adopted him, was a citizen? Why would socialist Canada have done that?
I can't answer that.
What do you mean you can't answer that? You can answer that. I told you how it originated. The Chinese were coming in and delivering babies on the airplanes. And when they got into Canada, and they were threatening to subvert the entire dynamic of Canada, changing not only the structure of Canada, but destroying the language of Canada and destroying the nature of Canada. And it was a Canadian of Chinese citizenship who said, we cannot become China. I don't want it to become China. And so he banned and eliminated the anchor baby provision. Why would socialist Canada do that? Moreover, why is there no other Western nation that has such a provision?
Why would that deconstruct?
Oh, you see, you can't answer the question, so you're playing games. The answer is you're not a real lover of this country. You're a left-winger who loves left-wingism. That's the nation you belong to. It's another nation, pal.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up!
to work like a slave on me.
It is the Savage Nation live, and then here I am in an Area 51-like location. I'm in an abandoned building. There's not even a mattress in here, but there's a radio broadcast set up. And after 2 hours, and I had too much coffee, I got hungry. Now it's like a typical radio studio. There's nothing here. And I went through the pantries, nothing. Everything has been stripped out of here except one package of Nut Butter Bites made with real peanut butter. Now, I don't eat junk food. I wrote the book on nutrition a long time ago. I mean, I have a PhD in nutrition, and when I was studying human nutrition at the University of California at Berkeley, the professors who eventually granted my degree used to ridicule me, thinking I was nuts. Of course, today, you know, what doctor doesn't at least give lip service to nutrition? And the good ones practice nutritional medicine mixed in with modern medicine. So I don't eat junk food. I never have. I mean, as a kid, I did. I didn't know any better. So all I got here is this Nut Butter Bites made with real peanut butter. I'm starving. So I turn it over. Look what's in this thing. You ready for this? Made with enriched flour. Okay. Niacin, reduced iron, thiamine. All right. Vitamins. Now, here we go. Sugar. All right. I'll even do that. I don't want it because I know it'll give me a little hypoglycemia later. Peanut butter. Okay. That means roasted peanuts, corn syrup solids, hydrogenated rapeseed, cottonseed, and soybean oil. Hydrogenated. Soybean and palm oil, high fructose corn syrup, another red light. Rolled oats, not bad. Partially hydrogenated cottonseed oil. So I rip it open during the break, and I bite into it, and boy, does it taste good. Here's the thing about junk food. It tastes good. Then, within 90 seconds, I feel like puking. I have a migraine, and I feel like vomiting. So I'm not going to eat it. I'll wait till the show is over, then I'll drive out of the Area 51-like studio that I'm in, pull down my hat, put on my sunglasses, and go have a Mexican meal. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Any topic is not fair game. We're primarily talking about the 14th Amendment, which grants babies automatic citizenship. And I've told you that the 14th Amendment needs to be amended. We need to amend the 14th Amendment, okay? Maybe I said earlier, I don't remember if I did, I'm a little tired, eliminate the 14th Amendment. So amend the 14th Amendment, as the Canadians had to do to prevent it from becoming a province of China. And it was done by a Chinese-Canadian, so stop with the racism already. The knee-jerk answer, oh, racism. You got the answers already, you liberal brainwashed fools. It's like that schmuck Leon DiCaprio does a documentary on global warming. This idiot. Listen to clip 26. Here's this moron actor, Leon DiCaprio, who he too is in on the global warming and pollution story. Listen to this.
The weather and the climate are making news in more than one region.
Severe flooding has killed at least 72 people.
Under siege in the grip of unmitigated catastrophe.
The evidence is now clear. Industrial civilization has caused irreparable damage.
Oh, shut up. Go back to Hollywood High and stop getting high, will you?
Overwhelming scientific
evidence. You hear the voice? Hold it. Stop for a minute. That's Leon DiCaprio. He's already an expert on microclimates and climatology. This guy is an actor. And so far as I checked, he's a high school dropout. But he already knows that the world's coming to an end because of the car you drive. Now, I want to remind you of something. Do you remember 25 years ago, there was a group called the Union of Concerned Scientists who put out a myth called 5 Minutes to Midnight? And they told us that the world was coming to an end any second because of a nuclear blowout between the United States and the Soviet Union. Remember, they're trying to get us to disarm and to destroy our nuclear weapons. Do you remember that hysteria that went on 5 Minutes to Midnight from the so-called Union of Concerned Scientists? Same Marxist scare tactics as the global warming folks. Now, I could do a documentary on the likelihood of a meteor hitting the Earth and once again wiping out all life and tell you that if you turned off your light bulbs when not in use, it would have the same net effect on the possibility of stopping said meteor as we do now in stopping global warming. We have nothing to do with it. But go tell that to a high school dropout whose entire life has consisted of reading other people's scripts and being told he's a good boy who looks beautiful. That's the start to this hour, along with the peanut crunch. Oh, God. 1-800-449-8255. You know I'm right. See, the thing is this. When I say it, it's so clear and makes such sense. It's as though you had a Satori instantly. You understood everything, which is why I'm so popular. It's truth to power. He's more powerful than I am because he has the Hollywood mob behind him. He has the press people behind him. He has the newspapers behind him. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, he has more power. But I have the truth, so therefore, I devastate him with one explanation. That's all. Now what do you want to talk about? I've just proven to you something here. And at this point in the show already, I'm a little tired. Now I'm tired. I was off, traveled, hidden location. And now I want to ask you what you think about various things. So 1-800-449-8255 is, you know, he has a terrible voice as a narrator. This is a guy who should have stayed in the movie Titanic. You know, the last movie I liked DiCaprio in, he was horrible in the movie about, who's the guy with the long fingernails, Beowulf? I forget his name already, with the airplane. Howard Hughes. Terrible, terrible. He couldn't do it. It was like Dustin Hoffman trying to play a mafioso. They all want to play crazy, rich, tough guy. I don't understand this. Why would he try to play Howard Hughes? They needed a man to play it, not a boy. He tried hard. He flapped around a lot, but he didn't look like Howard Hughes. He didn't portray him well. The movie itself had a good theme, but he wasn't Howard Hughes. I'm sorry. They should have used a man, not a boy. The last movie that Leon DiCaprio was good in was A Boy's Life. Actually, that wasn't it. What was the one set in Oregon with Robert De Niro as the father, the guy who was dating his mother? A Boy's Life was with Robert De Niro with another kid actor in the Bronx. That was a great movie, but DiCaprio wasn't in it. Does anyone know the movie I'm talking about? He was in Oregon, and his mother starts dating a guy, and the guy gets tough with him. He was a child actor, and he was a very good child actor. And he was a believable pretty boy, but he's not a believable scientist. Moreover, on the issue of global warming, where the science is increasingly proving the contrary to what Al Gore is lying about, he absolutely has no credibility. I've had a few dinners down here in the hidden area, and at some of these meetings, people ask me about global warming and what I can say about it because they weren't sure. So I said, well, are you aware of the latest research, not the hysteria being put out by Al Gore, who's not a scientist, by the way? Al Gore has no PhD. Al Gore is not a scientist. Al Gore is a salesman. They said, well, no, what is the latest research? I said, I'll tell you. It was a multi-year study, multinational study, of scientists, not politicians or government agents, who drilled into the Antarctic ice core. If I remember correctly, they drilled 1.2 miles down into the ice core of the Antarctic. Now, anyone listening to this show with a seventh grade education can understand that. Drill, ice, core, 1.2 miles down. Any person listening, no matter what their educational background, can get that. So they drilled down 1.2 miles. Now, what do you think they're looking for? They're looking for the remnants of the animals and the plants that lived at that time in the Earth's history. So they pull up what was down at 1.2 miles in the Earth's in the ice core, and they pull up the remnants of the plants and animals that lived on the Earth at that time, the DNA of the animals and plants, and they analyze it with modern techniques, and guess what they discover? They discover that approximately 20 million years ago, the Earth was much warmer than it is today. Now, of course, there was no car, no Hummer, no electrical grids, no 747s. There was no huckster named Al Gore. The Earth was much warmer. To me, this is pretty good evidence to the following. The evidence is very clear to me that the Earth has gone through climate changes from the beginning of its formation, hot and cold and ice ages. And we've been in a warming trend for the last 20,000 years with a few blips of mini ice ages, including the most recent ice age was in the 1300s when ice started to come back down from the north to such an extent that we have records of preachers standing with their Bibles in front of glaciers that were coming down into Europe with their flocks, their parishioners, praying to God to stop the glacier from coming any further because it was covering their vineyards and covering their farmlands. So the Earth has gone through climatic upheaval for a long period of time. And now we're in a heated phase, a hot phase. And we are fundamentally a blip in the universe, a tiny blip in the universe, totally dependent upon what goes on on Old Man Sun. Old Man Sun, as you well know, is an exploding star. It's still exploding. And each little mini explosion is equal to many hydrogen bombs going off these many hundreds of millions of years, light years away from us. But every time several of these hydrogen bomb equivalents go off on the sun, this pulsation of heat races through the universe and touches us and causes a slight change in climate. You get it or not? Now, I don't know how you have to explain this to people. The average person who's not doped up, who's open-minded, listens to this and understands that, sure, we all hate pollution. Sure, we should try to eliminate pollution. But stop with the hysteria saying that industrial civilization is the reason that we're heating up the globe and we're all going to die. Again, I want to go back to my primary point. This same Marxist hysteria was seen 20 years ago with the so-called Union of Concerned Scientists, a Marxist front group, who said that unless we disarm, meaning destroy our nuclear weapons, we're all going to die from a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. You hear what I'm saying to you? Well, guess what? If we were at 5 minutes to midnight 30 years ago, we must have gone past midnight already. And I'm sorry to tell you, leftists, the Earth is still here. And I will be here, too, when I return right here on the Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. Now, I've argued for borders, language, and culture for a long time, and I am 100% right. Here's a representative, Lincoln Diaz-Balart, saying that we all must learn Spanish. Listen to clip 30. Listen to this.
I just want to leave you with one thought. You know, for the Hispanic community in the United States, and not only for the interest of our children and their children, for the interest of our entire Hispanic community, and also for the national interest and the national success of the great United States of America, it is important that we emphasize the Spanish language and that we keep the Spanish language and that we transmit that emphasis to our children and to our grandchildren.
All right, we got it. You don't want to assimilate. To you, you live in another country. You're not a representative of America. I don't care if he's a Republican. I don't care what he calls himself. They're all Republicrats, these guys. And I have nothing against Spanish. It's a fabulous language. I studied it and its literature for 7 years, which is more than you probably can believe, but I did. And I struggle with the language because language is not inherently easy for me. I studied French for an equal number of years. I'm not inherently a linguist, but I studied the literature of France. The fact of the matter is, English is the national language, not French, not Spanish, not Russian, not Arabic, not Hebrew, etc. And every generation that has come here understood that unless they learned English, they were going to be second-class citizens. Just as I predicted, once a certain population is achieved, they want to change not only the mores of the nation, but the language itself to the language of their own ancestors and their own nation. That is another reason we must fight with everything in us to retain and emphasize not Spanish, but English and the sovereignty of the United States of America. Yes, it should be English as the first language, not press one for English. I never want to press one for English. I don't want to press one for anything. I live in America, and I'm sick of being displaced by illegal aliens who have come here and now want to turn this into the country they ran away from. And I know you agree with me. Now let's go to the callers. 1-800-449-8255, WOR, New York City. Andre, you have the next word on the Savage Nation. Please speak.
Mike, I'm a Hispanic American, or American first, obviously Hispanic, and I agree with you 100%. I think that what that guy just said, first of all, was ridiculous. It should have been in reverse, where he should have said for the Hispanic community's interest and for national interest, they should learn English. But
exactly. Otherwise, you're condemning the children to a second-class life because they're not going to move up in a society. The whole society is not going to change because they want us to. Didn't your parents tell you to get an education and learn English?
And that was based on his ridiculous pride of his heritage, whatever. But the point is, he's American now. But I wanted to say that I agree with your point because we need to protect the border and eliminate illegal immigration simply because, like you have often said, our nation is like an organism. And it's a delicate balance between what's stable and what's changing. And we need both. But we need to maintain our stability in order to incorporate change at the same time. And if we have an influx of too much change at once, just like the body needs to maintain its temperature, and too much of a rise or too sudden of a fall will create sickness and danger to our health, the nation can't take that much change all at once without...
Exactly. There's only so much social flux a people or a nation can take without developing a high fever and an illness. And this illness right now is at a fever pitch. I want to send you a gift, Andre, not because you agree with me, but because of your intelligence and your ability to articulate so intelligently. Stay on the line. We'll send you whatever, a hat, a DVD. And I hope you folks listening will go on to michaelsavage.com and avail yourself of the wonderful images that we can let you wear or listen to. I was at lunch with a couple of gentlemen today, and they asked me, how did you come up with Borders, Language, and Culture, and when did you do it? I got 30 seconds to tell you this. I'm almost out of time. It was right after I started the radio show. I created the Paul Revere Society, which is now somewhat defunct. And I had to come up with a reason for it. It was Borders, Language, Culture. They said, how did you come up with that? I said, because I'm a biologist by training, and any cell has a cell wall, if it's a plant cell, or a cell membrane, if it's an animal cell. That's what creates its integrity and keeps it a cell. So our borders are the equivalent of a cell wall in a plant or a cell membrane in an animal. And I went on from there.
Savage.
We are not immigrants that came from another country to another country. We are migrants free to travel the length and breadth of the American.
All right. Yeah. All right, yeah. You're free to travel. How come you're not free to travel into Mexico, for example, from El Salvador with your rhetoric? Because the Mexican military will shoot you on sight if you don't pay them off. That's why. But here you can get away with it because Whitey is such a schmuck. I understand that. Whitey is so deballed in this country from his sellout elitists that you can get away with that kind of garbage telling us that you're not an illegal immigrant. You're a migrant. Well, try migrating from El Salvador into Mexico and see what happens to you. Or try going from Guatemala into Mexico and see what happens to you. Well, you give him that speech at the border when you meet a Mexican military. Tell him that speech with as much gusto, you know, that we are not immigrants, we're migrants. Tell that to the policia when you get to Mexico and see if it goes over very well in Guadalajara. What are you talking about here? Only when this country reasserts itself, only when this country reasserts its borders, language, and culture, only when the country permits its police to enact the laws of the land. Remember, the laws of the land are very clear on illegal immigration. And only when the government starts to do what it did today, which is to deport the troublemakers who are hiding in churches and elsewhere, can we save this nation. Now let's go to a caller or two. Jimmy, WOR in New York, always welcome. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
To show how racist the left is, the communists and the left want to bring down America. To show you how racist they are, they think one of the best ways to do it is to flood America with illegal aliens, particularly Mexicans and Latin Americans. So it's the left that is racist, not the so-called right wing. And another thing, Dr. Savage, I have...
Let's clarify. What do you mean by the left is racist? Who are they racist against?
Well, they're racist by thinking they could destroy America by sending Mexicans here and Latin Americans. In other words, they think that Latin Americans, just by them being Latin Americans coming to America, that that'll help bring down America. So they, in effect, are racist.
Well, I think what you're saying is they think that the white male, heterosexual Christian, is such a weakling that he will roll over to this invasion. That's what you're really saying, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, because the communists have been teaching for many decades that capitalism is racism. To destroy racism, you have to destroy capitalism. The last few decades, capitalism is pollution. To stop pollution, you have to stop capitalism. These methods have been working, and they do them over and over and over, and the majority of Americans just don't understand it.
Majority of children are brainwashed in America from kindergarten, from pre-kindergarten, from Sesame Street on, to believe the big lie, when in fact we are the most compassionate nation in the history of the world. The most compassionate nation in the history of the world is the United States of America. The nation that takes in the most immigrants on earth is the United States of America, legal, by the way. And yet the left wants to tell us that we're not taking in enough. And that's because the children and the left-wing drug addicts don't even know their history, and they don't even know what goes on in the world outside of America. Jimmy, I agree with you.
in the communist-owned press, they say, the communists say in their own press, that political correctness is necessary for the Marxist revolution to succeed. So this is not us right-wing crazies, as they call us. They actually say this. It's not an accident.
But, Jimmy, they're succeeding, Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm sad to tell you they are succeeding. I would be lying to you if I held out a different opinion. You know, I am the doctor of the savage nation, and I'm telling you, my stethoscope tells me that this nation is very sick. It's near death.
Not an accident that Earth Day was on Lenin's birthday, April 22nd, and I don't believe it's an accident. Felix Dzerzhinsky, the man that founded the Soviet KGB, Felix Dzerzhinsky's birthday is 9/11. I don't think that's an accident.
Well, I don't need to go there to agree with you in the main thrust of your argument. But why is it that tens of millionaires like Al Gore want a communist or socialist or Marxist revolution? They understand what that will bring about. What is it that they envision for themselves?
An ultimate power, but I believe a lot of them may not know what the end result can be. They have advisors who are hardline communist revolutionaries, groups like the Institute for Policy Studies, KGB Front in Washington. The Union of Concerned Scientists is an offshoot of that. Robert Patrick.
Hold on. Was I right when I said the Union of Concerned Scientists is a Marxist front group?
Totally, absolutely.
Right. And remember 30 years ago, the scare tactic, 5 minutes to midnight, unless we disarm, the world's coming to an end. Remember that?
Yeah, we have to disarm, not so much the Soviets. It's incredible, isn't it?
And by the way, over the weekend, Communist China and Communist Russia had joint military exercises. Jimmy, are you aware of that?
I'm aware of that. The biggest transfer of wealth in the world is American money going to the Soviets and the Red China. And this, you know, this another thing you talked about in the past, this SPP, this movement for world government that's going to take away our borders. The architect of that, Robert Pasteur, is actually from the KGB front group, Institute for Policy Studies in Washington. So all these things you talk about, consider them like they're beads. And the common thread that runs through all these beads and connects them is the communist revolution. And we could document it from the communist-owned public.
All right, let's take the worst-case scenario, Jimmy. I know you're obsessed with this topic, and I'm not mocking your obsession at all, because unfortunately, the words you have prophesied on this program over the years have become increasingly true. Let us say the worst fear is seen. There's not a hard communism, but a soft communism. Communism light. Hillary wins. What happens to this country?
Well, we'll get weaker and weaker progressively. We'll end up converging into a world government. And once there's a world government, the communists will get control of that. And then, according to the Soviet defector, Golitsyn, there'll be what they call bloody feasts.
What does that mean?
Kill off any opposition they have that's still alive. You, I, and any of our listeners, anybody who's like-minded.
What do you mean kill off? Actually go around like in the killing fields, like in Pol Pot's time, or create re-education camps? Is that what's behind all of this?
Well, Anatoly Golitsyn defected in 1961. He told us there's a coming Soviet collapse. It's all fake. It's all controlled. The idea is to eventually make the Soviet Union look more democratic, America less democratic, so we look equal, and then it's easier to converge them into a world government. And
all right, let's pause here. Why is George Bush part of the New World Order then? Why does he want it?
Well, I can't be sure on that, but there's this thing that I've been reading about for years about the Council on Foreign Relations was set up to make world government, and all of these people are part of the Council on Foreign Relations and have advisors from the Council on Foreign Relations.
All right, but CFR and Goldman Sachs are interchangeable pieces in many ways. You know that, and government. There's a seamless connection between Goldman Sachs, CFR, New World Order. Why? What's that all about? I can answer that one. They envision a future world where trade, of course, is the only thing that matters, not borders, language, and culture. And the only thing that's important is the bottom line. So they're not coming at it from the point of view of communism. They're coming at it from the point of view of mega capitalism, Jimmy.
Some of them. But that kind of capitalism is actually fascism. That's not really capitalism. Capitalism.
All right. George Soros, one of the richest men on earth, is a multi-billionaire. Yet he does not want democracy. George Soros has funded drug initiatives in Arizona and California for so-called medical marijuana, knowing that if he dopes the people up, they'll be even more malleable. He understands how to do this. George Soros is funding many, many front groups right now, which are behind the protests against America, against immigration security, and against Michael Savage. That's what I think, and that's what many people who've analyzed who the people were who came out in the streets against me last week were funded, they think, by George Soros front groups. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes. My friends in Eastern Europe told me years ago that Soros is funding communist publications in Poland and other countries, and my friends in Ukraine tell me George Soros' paid activists in Ukraine wear Che Guevara T-shirts.
Well, wait, so, why would George Soros, a money changer and a multi-billionaire who makes his money by trading against currencies, want to see a communist or Marxist revolution? Where's the percentage in it for him?
Well, I guess he's a communist first, and the communists teach you have to use capitalism to build communism. And he'll stay rich. You know, communists don't mind being rich. They just want us to be the peasants.
Now, here's the most important point of today's program, maybe of the last month. Many people laugh at guys like you when you start talking about communism and Hillary Clinton and the left wing. Because when you say communism, they envision a nation of equal peasants wearing berets, for example, singing the Internationale. What they don't understand is that there are many varieties of communism, Jimmy. For example, Leninism is a form of communism. Leninism has an elite group of leaders, and then everyone else is a peasant. No votes. No right to redress grievances, no Supreme Court that is not controlled by the Leninists. In other words, a sham democracy with a sham constitution, with a ruling power class that has absolute power over the people. That's what the left is all about, Jimmy. Is that not right?
That's right. The communists teach that democracy is ruled by the people, but the people are represented by the Communist Party. It's a circle. And if you want to make a revolution, are you going to make a partnership with 10 landlords or 1,000 tenants? You got to go to the broader masses, and this is how the communists work. Supposedly for our health care, to save the planet from pollution, to end racism, this is the way. The solution is always socialism, communism.
Well,
this is
my answer to all of them is, let's compare the racism of America to every other nation. Let us compare our immigration policies to that of Mexico, a country that tells us how to conduct our immigration policy. Let us compare our treatment of refugees and immigrants to any other country on earth, and you'll find out that this is the greatest nation on earth. The question I'm raising, Jimmy, is it not too late? Have we not gone over that tipping point? Are too many people now not brainwashed into believing most of this rubbish?
I personally believe it's too late, but I'm going to keep fighting. Like, I'm knocked out on my feet, I'm in the ring, but I'm still throwing punches. That's how I feel. I don't want to discourage other conservative activists, because we need to keep fighting, because...
Well, George Bush destroyed the conservative movement. He gave it the death blow. He put the final nail, almost the final nail in the coffin. George Bush single-handedly undermined the conservative movement in this country, and I don't think it was by accident. That's my opinion, Jimmy. I don't know whether you agree with that.
Yeah, that sounds very possible, but the conservatives have to vote even if we don't have a conservative running, because the alternative, somebody like Hillary, it's terrifying. It's absolutely frightening.
Well, you want to talk politics. If Giuliani wins, do we get a conservative? You know that's not true. He's a big city liberal.
I know, but I also know some things firsthand. Giuliani stood up to the communists big time. He stood up to Kissinger. He stood up to the communist Chinese. I know personally some things that happened in New York. So when he gets the information, he knows what to do. Sure, he tends to be liberal on a lot of issues, but he's not a communist. He's an anti-communist. That I know.
All right. Well, from that perspective, that's a positive. I was at lunch with two guys today, both very, very good conservative men. And one of them said that Romney is unelectable, and I asked them why. He said he has five sons who are of military age who have not joined the military, and he said that is going to destroy him with the Southern white voter. Do you agree with that?
Not necessarily. I haven't been in the military either. I mean, it depends on what his sons are doing.
No. Of course, wait. I haven't been in the military either. I've never said I was. But he has five boys of military age right now, none of whom has volunteered for the military. He said that's a gigantic negative for Romney with the Southern Christians, who are very, very, very pro-American and pro-military.
Well, I would...
Maybe that's too new for you to calculate, but, you know, Jimmy, I said on this show that after the Bush debacle and the collapse of the Republicans with the immigration amnesty push, when they fell apart, it was guys like Jeff Sessions, Alabama, Mr. DeMint of South Carolina, and others who stood their ground, went toe-to-toe with Kennedy and McCain and the other sellouts, and explained all of the flaws in this amnesty bill and what it really meant, and enabled me as a talk show host and others to have the people flood Washington with messages saying that if you vote for the amnesty bill, we'll deport you from office. And what I said was there has been a power shift in the Republican Party. It is no longer run by the Northeastern check-pants Rockefeller Republican, Rockefeller slash Bush Republican branch. The Republican Party is now firmly in the hands of the Southern white Christian. That's who's running the power in the Republican Party right now. The Southern white conservative Christian, thank God, has seized the reins of this broken party, Jimmy. Whether they can take it all the way back to Congress and maintain control of Congress is another question. We've already lost the White House. It's over. I don't know whether we can hold any part of Congress after George Bush and this pack of check pants Republicans, Jimmy. I just don't know.
I truly believe that if we could reach the radical racist white and the radical racist black, they could hate each other. But if we could show them how we're in a common, we're in a situation here where we have to join forces because what's going on is going to destroy both of us, we could actually bring left-wing and right-wing, black racist, white racist together, because the bigger trouble now is the world communist movement, the globalist movement. We're all going to suffer. We're all on the same boat.
Wait, you want to hear something interesting? Last week, during that terrible protest against My Truth by the communists in San Francisco, including Sandoval, including Alioto Pier, I was attacked by Italian-Americans, I was attacked by Jewish-Americans, I was attacked by Irish-Americans. They voted for the communist movement, and they used me as the sacrificial lamb in order to make the Latinos think that they cared about them. You understand that, Jimmy?
Yes.
Because behind the scenes, they don't care about anybody except their own power. You know what I heard, Jimmy? I heard something very interesting after this. You know that there were no African-Americans in that protest? There were no African-American leaders in that protest against me? Did you know that, Jimmy?
No, that's really interesting. That's shocking, actually.
There were no left-wingers of African-American descent. There were no left-wingers in the, African-Americans in the audience. Guess what? There is no unity between the Latino and the African-American in this country. In fact, the exact opposite is true. And I think that you should understand that the African-American understands very well that the illegal immigrant threatens him, if not equal to, then perhaps even more so than the white man. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's true. But the black leadership is part of the Afro-Leninist Hispanic.
What's the black leadership? Al Sharpton? Jesse Jackson, you consider them the leadership? The young black men don't believe in them. They know they're hucksters.
Right on that, but I don't know.
They know they're hucksters. They're smart enough to have come up in this nation and seen the white fakers. They can read a black faker from a mile away.
No,
thanks for the call, Jimmy. God bless you. Jimmy. Most of what we talked about is so unbelievably true, and yet so many people don't understand these truths. But I will continue to speak truth to power. You know, when you consider that a multi-billionaire like George Soros is out to destroy my career, in my opinion, as well as some of the most powerful politicians in the world, and yet I'm still here hanging, you know, by a thread, that tells you something. It tells you the American people are not that stupid. And moreover, it tells you that you can fool some of the people some of the time, George Soros. And Georgie boy, you can fool some of the people all of the time, Georgie, with all of your money. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time, Georgie. They know who you are, and they know who I am. And at the end of the day, I'm going to win, not you. And I'll be back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Here we are, here we are, here we are. In a hidden location. Somewhere in America, eating Nutter Butter Bites. I ate two of them. I have to throw them out. There's an interesting article on the website called, in a nutshell, what it's about is some Indian tribes are selling citizenship to illegal aliens. Now, it's a gigantic ripoff of the poor illegal alien, by the way, by, completely bad people. And they're telling undocumented illegal aliens that if they sign up to become an American Indian of various so-called tribes that don't really exist, they can become citizens. And there was an interesting article, a satire written by John W. Lilpop, put up on michaelsavage.com. It's a must read. And he says that there are, according to Miguel Martinez Garcia Rodriguez Tejada Peña Hernandez, there are seven compelling reasons why illegal aliens are attracted to the Indian tribe scam. Seven, marijuana and other recreational drugs, okay. Six, no back taxes to fret. Five, no mean-spirited American history exams. Four, no need to work. Three, no snoopy criminal credit or medical background checks. Two, no need to learn no stinking English. And the number one reason illegal aliens fall for Indian citizenship scams, number one, no need to join the Catholic Church or other pervert-friendly religious cults. Now, I didn't write any of this. It was written by John W. Lilpop as satire. Now, so if you don't like it, then go to him. But we still live in a free country. And it's been investigated, and it turns out that the poor undocumented illegal aliens who are signing up for this are being coaxed into this by people who've set up either fake tribes or something. What happened? What was that? Why did I get a clatter?
Savage.